the shape of Krishna. And only if we put, and let me say like this, and this pains us. We try to fill the hole with, in the material world, we try to fill it with travels, with partners, with wealth, with all different types of excitement, but the hole cannot be filled like this. In Krishna consciousness, we try to fill it with maybe the philosophy of reincarnation, with prasharam, with let me say, situating ourselves mentally and physically well. But even then the hole cannot be filled. The heart still pains from that hole. Only if we fill that God-shaped hole with God. In other words, only if we put Krishna into our hearts will that constant feeling of discomfort and lack and desire ever go. So it is with this understanding, the understanding that we have to again re-invite Krishna into our heart, that we do these Krishna Katha series. It's a serious effort. It's a serious program. It's a serious, let me say, project also. So we will need a little silence and silence today. Maybe we can just ask yes, one of the devotees said. Is Gaura Hari here?
Yeah.
Can you? Is there still a thing empty? Panunandini, you need everything. Okay, that's good. Yeah. Ich denke, this is not for you. This is internal discussion. Please. So, please remember our stopping point yesterday. We stopped where Krishna entered the arena of Vrindavan. Not Vrindavan, of Mathura, I'm sorry. And how the Mathura Vasis reacted with absolute ecstasy when they saw Krishna. The reason why the people of Mathura were just so totally ecstatic was that they recognized Krishna from the descriptions which they had heard earlier, and also from his effulgence which bathed the whole arena into a specific merciful light. And they felt, well, here's Krishna, he's from our town. We heard that he was born in Vrindavan. I'm too much into Vrindavan. We heard that he is from Mathura. He's one of us. And then they began to talk about Krishna's different pastimes. But because of the cruel King Kamsa, he had to be taken out by his father from Mathura into the forest of Vrindavan. But there he proved superior strength. I mean, someone said, did you hear? He killed the demoness Putana when he was very, very tiny. Another said, that's nothing. When he grew up a little bit more, he took the mortar to which his mother bound him and pulled it behind himself. When it got stuck between these huge Arjuna trees, he just pulled the Arjuna trees down, and then, yes, I know, said in third person, I remember. No, you don't know anything, said the first person who started to talk about the Arjuna trees. Then two devatas came out, circumambulated him, and then were delivered to the planet. And another said, this is really nothing. I have heard that Krishna carried for 7 days the Govardhan Hill on his pinky. Prabhupada commented, without previous experience in weightlifting. did not even shifted his feet. He was not inconvenienced. He didn't get tired. Although he did not eat or drink for an entire week, his face was always cheerful, free from fatigue, at Pramudita. Pramudita means extremely happy and full of smiles. Then all the Mathura Vasis almost came into one meditation. They said, today, on the birthday of Lord Shiva, we turn to Shiva and Lord Mahesh. We know that Kamsa, our king, has made plans from even before the birth of Krishna to kill him. But today, let Krishna kill Kamsa. So I want to show you a little bit a preparation of what is expecting all of us now. I want to enter with you into another arena, the arena of Vrindavan, this time it's correct, and want to show you how Krishna, with his smiling face, confronted demons, so that you just know what you can expect when he confronts Kamsa. Here is a little movie for you, which I hope you will enjoy, and Radha Kripa will close the window and put a shutter even there. It's just a taste for what comes. There can never be the question of a fight with Krishna. There can only be a leela, a play of Krishna, pretending to fight or enjoying the fight. You know, how can the darkness ever be a problem for the light? It's not possible. When there is light, light will always conquer darkness. Never the other way around. You can bring tons of night. You can bring the whole night of Europe and let it fight against one match. The match, the light of the match, as long as the light is there, will always win. So when Krishna fights with the demons, it's really a wonderful dance. It's really a wonderful experience of nectar, and we will see that now. This is the most ferocious demon, Kaliya. I just wanted to show you with this very nice presentation. Well, I have also our young audience is there. I don't know, dear children, if you like what I say, but I will try. I wanted to show you how Krishna is really not threatened by the darkness of opposition. And I want to show you also how everyone who engaged with Krishna, even the demons, were ultimately benefited by him. Now, the night before Kamsa had come into the arena, he had received his hand-picked 5 best wrestlers and had instructed them how to kill Krishna. He had said, when you wrestle, you just appear to be wrestling fairly according to the rules, but you should always hit him at the soft spots so that he will lose his strength and then you can kill him. Now, one of those hand-picked murderers was Chanura. When he saw how the people of Mathura began to applaud to Krishna and react to his presence in the arena, he shouted very loudly, stopped the music and everyone's talk, and said, "Listen!" And his voice boomed through the arena. "Son of Nanda, and listen, O Ram. Everyone is well aware how strong you are. You know, one's talents and artistic skills should be presented for the pleasure of the king, who will offer good fortune to those who do so. Our king wants to see your wrestling skills." When Chanura spoke to Krishna, in his eyes, because he looked with a certain angle, he didn't see a little boy. He saw a giant as tall as a mountain before him. But Krishna responded differently. He said, "Chanura, we are simple forest dwellers. We are subjects of King Kamsa, yes, and we will please him, yes. But let us fight with the boys our age. That is more befitting. To wrestle with you would be inappropriate because you are extremely powerful. It would be like frogs fighting with an elephant." Krishna very... Chanura responded, "You are not a child and not even a young man. You are the best of the strong. Just now you have killed Kuvalayadapita. And what is with Kaliya? You have also defeated him. Kuvalayapida had the strength of 10,000 elephants." So Krishna looked at Chanura. Up to this point, he didn't want to fight with him. But when he saw that Chanura was so determined, he made up his mind and accepted the challenge. You must know that in the middle of this huge arena, there was an akara. An akara looks a little bit like in our Western world, the boxing ring looks. Have you ever seen boxing contests in your life? You have seen. It's not a very big place because you want to really see how the contestants are engaging in a fight and really don't run anywhere. You don't need a lot of space for a fight of strength. So in this way, there was a small rope in place with very nice soft sand. Chanura and Mushika went right into this roped-in area and immediately they started to show their muscles. Then Krishna Balaram went into the Akara. It sounds so foolish when these demons act, but so they started the wrestling match by first joining their palms, which is traditional when you wrestle. You just take the palms of your opponent and you just see his strength by pushing against it. And then they started. They locked themselves by each other's arms and legs, jumped through the other on the ground and went through all the motions. But after some time of fighting, everyone began to see that Chanura Mushtika were not fighting according to the rules. They were extremely aggressive. And after a few more minutes, it was clear that was not a fight. Chanura Mushtika wanted to use all their strengths to kill Krishna Balaram. And everyone felt extremely uncomfortable. Imagine the most beautiful personalities, Krishna Balaram, who had attracted the love and affection of all of Mathura, were now, on the slaughtering bench, you could say. And the people started to fluster to each other. Adharma, Adharma, Adharma. But they didn't speak out loud. Did you know why? This is now very important. The people didn't dare to speak out what they felt in their heart because of fear of Kamsa. And this is a great problem which we sometimes also face in our lives. We don't speak what we really perceive as true. We don't voice our concerns because of fear. Fear of losing the appreciation of others. Only the women of Mathura, and that's why they are noteworthy, they saw what was happening and they reacted to what was happening. They said to each other, "See how unequal the wrestlers are matched. Look at these two professional wrestlers who have limbs as strong as lightning bolts and bodies resembling mighty mountains. And then look at the two young immature boys with exceeding tender limbs. If this is not immediately stopped, everybody in the assembly will have to take part in the reaction to this sinful spectacle." And here's a very important moral instruction for us. Niti Shastras say, when there is a sin committed in an assembly or a society, all those who stay in that society and assembly and don't say anything to stop the sin are tainted by the reactions of that sin. An example which comes to our mind is, of course, when Draupadi was attacked by Dushasan in the assembly of the king Duryodhana. It was clear to everyone in the assembly that Dushasan, with the strength of many elephants, wanted to strip the queen of the Pandavas naked as an ultimate humiliation. And Draupadi, when she was pulled into the assembly of Duryodhana, was in her moon days. Those of you who are women and those of you who are, know about this know, when a woman comes into her monthly cycle, all the hormones in her body will go through an intense moving about in the body, and they will create, the effect will be on the mind of the woman that she is much more sensitive than usually and more easily disturbed. So imagine the queen of the Pandavas brought into a public assembly to be humiliated publicly. Imagine how she must have felt, how she must have suffered. It must have been worse than death to her. But people just didn't say anything. They thought Duryodhana, when he sees that we are objecting to this, he will get on our case. My dear devotees, how often have we been silent, although we knew it was better to speak or leave the assembly? My dear devotees, Krishna reacted very strongly to the silence. He didn't think it was proper. He said, whoever was there in the assembly while Draupadi was insulted will be brought to me on the battlefield and he will be killed. That was how Krishna reacted. Oh, yes. My dear devotees, here's a lesson. When there is something impossible going on, one should either protest and stop the injustice or silently get up and leave and say, I have nothing to do with this assembly. In the Indian village, there is a saying, when the Khatsi's pet she-dog died, everyone went with the Khatsi to her burial. They wanted to show, when the dog of the Khatsi died, we are on your side, Khatsi. We go to the burial. But when the Khatsi himself died, no one attended his funeral ceremony. You got the idea of the thing. Out of fear of the Khatsi, everyone went, but they hated the Khatsi, and when he died, they went. Dobro means good. So the ladies were the only ones who dared to open their mouth. They were the only ones who reacted to this injustice. And they said, look, but my dear friend, one lady said to another, look at Krishna's lotus face. It is covered with the drops of perspiration, and it resembles a lotus covered with dew. And as they were talking, they were pointing with their fingers. You know, although cultured ladies don't do this, but they were so attracted to Balaram that they pointed, look there at the face of Lord Balaram. Yes, what is there? His eyes are copper red from his anger towards Mushtika, and his beauty is enhanced by his laughter and his absorption in the fight. I think I told you yesterday, when Krishna was running towards his angry opponent Shanura, he remained extraordinarily peaceful, while only his lotus face was covered with sweet pearl-like drops of perspiration. But Balaram was different. Balaram's eyes and face were red from anger. And Jiva Goswami says, it appears that by his nature, he manifested Krishna's fiery brilliance. So the ladies of Mathura spoke four noteworthy verses, which are very beautiful verses in glorification of Krishna's devotees in Vrindavan. The ladies in Mathura thought, in Vrindavan everyone loves our Krishna. In Vrindavan everyone throws flowers on him. But when our Krishna comes to our town, Mathura, the first thing he has to hear are the abusive words of a foolish washerman. Then he is brought into the arena, and while he is trying to enter, a war elephant is instigated and then chased to kill him. And now he is in the arena, and everyone here in this sinful town, Mathura, we should leave this town, go to the forest,
everyone is watching and is silent when he's publicly attacked by these killers who want to kill him. Oh, how good is Vrindavan, they said. And then they remembered Krishna's dearest devotees in Vrindavan. Anyone has an idea? The gopis, of course. And they sang a song about the gopis. I mean, if you want to read these four verses, I will not go through them now, because then we will get lost in Vrindavan and never return to Mathura for the rest. It's in Bhagavatam 10, chapter 44, text 13 to 16. They are very important verses on Krishna and the gopis. But there's one verse which I just have to chant for you.
Yadohane vahanane matano palepa prenken kanabadhuditakshanamajanaro gayanti chainam anurakta. Anurakta means deep attachment. Diyo shrukantyo danya brajastriya uru kramachitta jana. The gopis are the most fortunate because they constantly sing about Krishna with great attachment. When the gopis milk the cows, they sing about Krishna. When they thresh grains, they have a big stone with a hole and then a wooden pestle, and they go, Govinda damo dada madaveti, Govinda damo dada madaveti, Govinda damo dada madaveti, Govinda damo dada madaveti, Govinda damo dada madaveti. When they gather cow dung for fuel, they go where the cows are and they take the cow dung, patch, patch, patch. They sing. When they ride their babies on the swing, shoo, shoo, they sing. When they sprinkle the ground before their houses with water, because they want to make the ground very firm so that they can go there and Krishna can come, they sing about him. When they clean their houses, all they do is they sing. This is Vrindavan. Everyone likes Krishna so much. They gayanti anurakta. They sing with deep attachment in the heart. That's their main business. Sanatana Goswami elaborates on this. He says, one might ask, if the gopis only sang about Krishna's holy name and his different daily activities, then who took care that the household chores were taken care of? And he gives the answer. Krishna, by his internal energy, maintains those who sing his holy name. It's very important, my dear devotees. You need to make only one plan in your life, that there is enough chanting. When you do this, Krishna maintains you and protects you. Remember when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on the boat going through the territory of the Yavanas, he started to sing. Now the boatman who was rowing the boat said, Gauranga, we have chosen the night for good reasons. We don't want that the enemy soldiers see us. We don't want to hear that the crocodiles and the tigers see us. But with your loud singing, you are awakening the enemy soldiers from their sleep.
you are drawing the attention of the night prowling tigers on us, and you wake up the crocodiles. Stop this singing in the interest of your life, my life, and the life of my family, said the boatsman. But Gauranga Mahaprabhu turned to his bhaktas and simply said, sing louder. And he made the comment that anyone who sings the names of the Lord is protected by the Sudarshan Chakra of the Lord. I have personal experience of this. I was in a kirtan in Göttingen, went down the street, when the best of the demons, he looked, he had a body like a bull, and then when we came, he ripped down his shirt and got into the fighting mood. Now, I had learned in my childhood the art of street fighting, but when I saw this man, all my knowledge left me. I didn't know what to do, and I had no idea. He was really there getting his nunchakus ready and his small killing instruments and so on. And I happened to be the kirtan leader at that time, so I remembered this, what Mahaprabhu said, and I simply turned around and said to the devotees, sing louder. And so we sang louder, and at that precise moment when the demon rushed at us to break all the 33,000 bones in the body, one other man dressed in black jumped out of a nearby bar and confronted the demon who wanted to beat all the devotees, and just so strongly attacked him that at the end this strong man fitted into one plastic bag and could be put away. You know, this is how Krishna chose to protect us in a very, very nice way. So, but how do you have to sing? The Sanskrit word which Shukadev Goswami uses is anurakta, and it's interesting that the same verse appears in a recipe which Raghunath Das Goswami gives for how to chant the holy name. Raghunath Das Goswami says like this: O my greedy tongue, don't you know that the name of Radha is like fresh new ambrosia? My tongue, don't you know that the name of Krishna is like wonderful, sweet and thickened milk? Now take the thick milk and this nectar of Radha and Krishna's name and mix them together while adding the camphor scent of your attachment, and then drink, drink, drink eternally to your heart's content. This is how to chant Jai Gopalji, with anurakta, with deep attachment and affection. Then your thirst will be quenched. So I thought, to sing with you a little. But would you like to sing a little bit?
Yes.
Good. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare.
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Although the women had talked amongst themselves, and although his devotees, who were a little bit fearful, had only thought about this, Krishna, who was Yogeshwara, that is the Paramatma in the heart of everyone, could understand that his devotees suffered. He could understand how Nanda Maharaj thought, oh no, this is too much. Why did we allow our sons to come to this corrupted game? And when he understood that the devotees suffered, his mind moved with mercy to his devotees. Whenever Krishna sees that any one of his devotees suffers, waves of mercy come from the still lake of his mind, and the waters of mercy begin to sprinkle his devotees and then wash the devotees. This is a very important point. So Krishna thought, my devotees are suffering, let me bring this to an end. And he picked up the speed in which he was fighting.
he returned the blows. Previously, when Chanura gave him blows, Chanura would always hit at the heart, thinking the heart of the Lord was an ordinary heart, and just by beating, he would kill him. But Krishna's hairs had stood up in ecstasy because he didn't feel the iron fist of Chanura's like this. But now, Krishna's blows became suddenly hard like lightning bolts. And similarly, Balaram, whose Balavanta, full of unlimited strength, began to manifest his strength. Chanura soon began to think, why did I force this boy to fight with me? Why did I do this terrible mistake? But because he was too proud, he could not surrender to Krishna at that moment. He knew, this opponent is more than I could ever imagine. Then finally, he decided to make a surprise move. He took both of his hands together and he began to deliver what he thought would be the death blow for Krishna. But Krishna took up his hands like someone who had given him hands for dancing. You know, when we sometimes do kirtans, you do to a devotee here and you catch him by the hands and then you twirl in circles. So Krishna took his hands and whirled him around and around with increasing speed until finally the foot of Chanura came off the ground and he was in the air. People begin to talk to each other. Look at this amazing battle between light and darkness. Though Krishna and the wrestlers grapple each other, they do not actually touch because of Krishna's special power, just like light and darkness do not mix. So then, as Chanura's eyes began to widen and he looked into the beautiful face of Krishna, he gave up his life. That was a glorious death as far as Gaudiya Vaishnava's philosophers are concerned. And Krishna threw him out of the Akara, far, far away, like a rocket, and then his dead body fell on the stone ground. Everyone exploded and shouted, Jai, Jai! Even the ministers who sat next to Kamsa's throne jumped up and chanted, Jai, that was great! Then they noticed, on whose side are we? Krishna had won their heart. When Mushtika saw Chanura's technique, he decided to also make a surprise move. But he only received a violent blow of the palm of Lord Balaram. And then, like a tree attacked by a hurricane, he turned around and in this Sufi dance-like motion, dropped dead to the ground. And at this time, three other wrestlers attacked Krishna Balaram. The two transcendental brothers decided to deal with them in a dancing way. They started to dance, and while dancing, they moved their hands and their feet and sent the three wrestlers to the Vaikuntha worlds. So at this moment, 1,000 wrestlers got up. All these wrestlers were there to show their fighting skills for the pleasure of Kamsa. Now, according to the rules of the game, they would have to fight with Krishna and Balaram. But the wrestlers who got up didn't move into the arena. They moved out of the arena and ran as fast as their feet could carry them. And then Krishna Balaram looked at them, shoop, all the wrestlers ran away, and simply laughed. The hired musicians continued with their music. Then Krishna decided, let us now show our real talents in wrestling. And he invited all the cowherd boys into the wrestling arena. Some cowherd boys felt shy and said, no. But Krishna personally went up the ranks, grabbed his cowherd boyfriends very lovingly by their hands and brought them down into the wrestling arena. And then they started to wrestle. At that moment, the anchor bells of the Lord sounded. He danced happily with his friends and he relieved the tense atmosphere. It was a little tense, you know, Chanura Mushtika, somewhere. Then they wrestled with the cowherd boys and showed how the gopas defeated them. Sometimes the Lord was on the ground and the gopas were on top of him. And then Krishna would say, I'm defeated. Krishna wrestled all together for half an hour with his friends while the musicians would play. But whenever Krishna was defeated by the cowherd boys and lay back on the ground, Kamsa was extremely troubled at heart. What is going on? Who is this boy who's so extremely powerful, yet who is defeated by his friends? I sent Arishta, I sent Kalia, I sent Putana, Agasura, so many of the best magicians and killers which I have, they all came back, and all which came back is news of their death. I confronted Chanura and Mushtika, but they were just mercilessly killed by the boys. But here, these two boys are just defeated by a few village or forest boys from farmer boys. Kamsa couldn't understand any longer. And I decided to show you a little movie about how Krishna wrestles with his cowherd boys, because I think it is necessary for you to understand Krishna is not like an ordinary person of this world. When he wrestles and when he does anything, it's for Leela. He is not inconvenienced at all. We will see now. The young boys are getting ready. Can you imagine our Kamsa, how he must have felt when this wrestling game was going on between Krishna and his friends? Here they are, the transcendental wrestlers. At the end of the summer camp, I know we just want to see movies. But I just wanted to show you how Krishna wrestled, and at the same time he confronts these type of demons and just finishes. So when Krishna had wrestled with his cowherd boyfriends, just like we saw in the movie, Kamsa understood this is too much. I must do something quickly. And he trembled with rage as he got up and he shouted to the musicians, stop! Is
it for this purpose that you are paid? Why do you celebrate? Are you Krishna Das or are you Kamsa Das?
But the musicians were simply enthusiastic to continue. This was too much for Kamsa. Everyone had always followed his orders, and he shouted his orders. Catch these two wicked sons of Vasudev. Drive them immediately out of the city. Confiscate all the cowherd's property and arrest that fool over there, Nanda. Quickly kill that most evil cheat, Vasudev. And also kill my father, Ugrasena, along with all his followers who have all sided with our enemies. As Kamsa was shouting orders, he noted that there was no one listening to him. He waved his hands. A pathetic figure on the road to death. We want to show you a film of Kamsa's anger, so just that you know and will remember this. Is it possible? It is possible. But please reflect a little bit. When a person comes to his death, when he is a pious person like a devotee, he will immediately begin to understand, oh, I didn't use my time properly. Oh, now comes the last test. Oh, Krishna, oh, Balaram, please protect me. Whereas when a materialist comes to the end of his life, all his foolishness, all his anger will erupt one more time like a volcano who gives vent to the lava. And Kamsa now had gone over the brink. He had the nerve to attack Krishna's devotees, Vasudev and Nanda Maharaj. Let us see one scene of Kamsa's uncontrolled anger. See, games, and you have Kamsa in real. As he was blaspheming Nanda Maharaj, Vasudev and Devaki, Krishna, for the first time, became so angry that his body began to tremble and his eyes turned red. At that moment, Sanatana Goswami said he looked at Kamsa with the eyes of a tiger and he made up his mind to kill him. With one jump, Krishna jumped to Kamsa's seat. It happened so quickly that no one noticed how Krishna, who was down in the arena, was all of a sudden next to Kamsa's throne. It happened so quickly that only Kamsa knew what had happened. He swiftly drew his sword and began to slash the air to protect himself. But Krishna dexterously avoided the deadly sword, like Garuda avoids the cobras. Sorry, that does belong to the Katha. When he fights with them. Then very quickly, Krishna knocked off Kamsa's crown, which came tumbling down on the ground. And with his left hand, the left hand is used for dirty work, huh? Not the right work that is used for eating. With his left hand, he pulled him by the hair, threw him from the royal dais all the way down to the wrestling arena, and then jumped from there onto Kamsa. Now the way Krishna killed him is very noteworthy. He threw himself on the chest of the king and then he meditated about himself as the shelter of the universe, which was burdened by Kamsa. I am the shelter of the universe. I am protecting everyone from the evil force of the demon. And just by that weight, Kamsa was killed and left the body. We hear also that Krishna used his fist, but really Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur said it was this thought, I am the shelter of the universe. I think this is very noteworthy. When Krishna thinks of you, what he thinks is a reality. We find a verse, I do not know exactly from where this verse is, and maybe one of you will recognize it. It says, Krishna, no, O Lord Janardana, just like the fish maintains his young ones by touching them, just like the tortoise maintains his children in the egg by meditating about them, and just like the birds maintain their little ones by looking affectionate on them, this is how you protect your devotees. Krishna touches his devotees with his holy name. Krishna meditates about his devotees, and Krishna looks at his devotees with his compassion-filled eyes, and in this way maintains them. Everything happened so quickly that the people of Mathura thought the king had fainted and somehow had fallen down into the akara. Now Krishna, in order to announce to the world that Kamsa was actually dead, did something unusual. He pulled Kamsa through the arena like a lion who drags a dead elephant around. And in this way, Krishna showed that he had actually liberated Mathura from this thorn which was in the flesh of all good people, the thorn called Kamsa. And there's a verse in the Bhagavatam which says how Krishna constantly, even at this time, protects the devotees from demons. The verse says, Pramnatam utya itya kritya chintaya. Chintaya means anxieties, worries, fears. With great attention, Krishna, in the form of time, you come and suddenly seize the greedy person desiring material objects. You come just like a snake licking its lips and then seizing a mouse. Prabhupada commented like this, when once there was this very greedy person who would sell people a certain property in Juhu Beach, and then when they couldn't make the payments in time, he would take the whole property and not return the money. This was a greedy person, Mr. Nair, and when he became intolerable and you know, by attacking the devotees, one day he was simply dead, and Prabhupada said this, that yes, Nrisimhadeva killed him. Krishna makes arrangements in the form of time. The great leveler means he levels everything down and makes it equal. Rich men, poor men, ugly men, beautiful men, rich woman, poor woman, ugly woman, beautiful woman, everyone is leveled down by time. This is Krishna's form. There are many more
things in the Katha, but because it ends, I want to show you, bring you to two letters, one which the gopis wrote to Krishna, and when the other, when Mother Yashoda, when Krishna wrote a letter to Mother Yashoda, which are very moving. When Nanda Maharaj saw that Kamsa was dead and killed by Krishna, he immediately sent a messenger to Vrindavan, and the Brijbasis, who heard how Krishna had killed the demons and had killed Kamsa, made such loud music that the music came from Vrindavan to Mathura. They were so joyously hearing this. It is described that some people of Mathura became one with that music. It means they were so absorbed in this music. Now, of course, the wives of Kamsa were very, very disturbed. The wives of Kamsa represent two types of fear. Kamsa is fear personified, and the wives represent fear that there is no God. And this is Atri, and Prapti is the second wife. She represents the fear that, yes, there might be a God, but he is too difficult to attain for me. Do you sometimes suffer from Prapti's influence? Do you sometimes feel that, yes, there is Krishna, but I can't reach him? I'm too fallen. I also suffer. This means the wife of Kamsa has her influence over you. Hare Krishna. So they cried so much. First they cried, oh, you were so pious and you were so good. You were the real protector of all the people of the world, Kamsa. Why have you died? But then they thought, because Krishna was there. No, this is not the truth, really. By Krishna's influence, they did another verse where they said, because you actually have brought, you have been brought to this state because of the terrible violence you have committed against innocent creatures. How can one who harms others attain any happiness? This is the right verse, you know. When soft-hearted Krishna heard their cries and saw their tears, he felt remorse and criticized himself. And then he went about to console them sorrowfully with gentle words. And then Krishna personally collected all the dead people, put them in a boat, and went to the northern bank of the river Yamuna, where he personally led the cremations. And you can be rest assured, my dear devotees, that they were doubly blessed. First, they were killed by Krishna. That's a big blessing. Personally, you know, we are all killed by Krishna in the form of death, but here Krishna in his personal form had come and killed them, you know, not just in the form of the delegation of death. And the second thing, which I think is very good, is Krishna arranged their funeral ceremonies. It is described that once there was a funeral pyre on which a sinful person was cremated. So at that time a saint came by, and the fragrance from his body touched the smoke from the dead body of that sinner, and all of a sudden from out of the smoke a person came with a spiritual body and went back home, back to Godhead. So one devotee saw this and asked his spiritual master, what was happening? And he said, this was a sinner, he was meant to go to hell, but because the fragrance from a body of a saint
only touched his smoke, he went to some very high destination. So Krishna has really, in his personal presence, been there at the funeral ceremony and so on. Then Krishna went to Vasudeva and Devaki, who were still imprisoned in the royal palace. They had been brought by Kamsa out into the wrestling arena to see the death of their child. You know, that's really the ultimate torture for a mother, to slaughter her baby or her son before her eyes. So Kamsa wanted to do that, but everything developed in a different way, as we have heard. But then the guards had orders to bring them quickly back into the prison. And so Krishna passed the impassable doors, took off the handcuffs of his parents, and then went towards them in what was at first a constricted meeting. Vasudeva and Devaki, who had seen what Krishna did in the arena, stood back. They folded their hands and said, "O Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are actually not our son. You are the unborn God." They were so overwhelmed by awe and reverence that they couldn't show any signs of affection. They must have felt like Arjuna felt when he saw Krishna in the universal form. He could simply stutter and tremble and became frozen, so that no emotion of bhakti came from his heart. Then Devaki and Vasudeva were in a similar situation. Now they understood that this is the Lord of the universe. They remembered how Krishna had first appeared as the Almighty Vishnu before their eyes, and they were frozen. But Krishna was not satisfied with this. Krishna wants to evoke the love of his devotees. He doesn't like when they stand back frozen with feelings of awe and reverence. So he bowed down together with Balaram, and he reminded his parents how they were forced to be separated. He said, "Balaram and myself were unable to serve you because we were kept in a distant place because of fear of Kamsa. Please forgive us for not serving you. A son," this is now an instruction to us sons here. Who is a son here? Good. That some of you are still awake. Everyone who is in a male body is a son. So it's Krishna gives the instructions. He said, "A son who, though able to do so, fails to provide for his parents with his physical resources and wealth is forced after his death to eat his own flesh." This is in the Bhagavatam. It's not in some Kamakanda scripture. It's in the Bhagavatam. There is a responsibility. You can meet this responsibility in one of two ways. Either become take care of your parents, like serve them hands and foot, or become a pure devotee and let the power of devotion take care. So when Devaki and Vasudeva heard these pleasing words, they just grabbed their sons, put them on their lap, and began to shower them with tears, a rainfall of tears, and all the tension went away from them. They felt love to Krishna and Balaram like they had never felt before. They became ecstatic as they cried those tears, which were no longer blocked with the feeling of awe and reverence, which these tears of pure affection, and they
they're great devotees, you know, they became like this. So Krishna and Balaram spent time in Mathura, but I want to ask you, was Krishna happy there? Krishna always said, I will stay for a few days in Mathura, but then I will return immediately to Gokula and become fully happy. Once he said to Balaram, I just long for the love of the devotees in Braj. I don't know how much more I can live, maybe one day or 2 days. But in a public meeting, the Yadavas has expressed to Krishna, you can't leave us now. You know, when Kamsa was ruling, he was the only one who terrorized us. Now where he is killed by you, all his friends, which are hundreds of demoniac kings, are against us. If you leave us now, your work remains uncompleted. And Vasudev had thought, he's so close to Vrindavan, my boy will run back again to Vrindavan. He's so attached to the Brijbasis. Let us send him to education far away from here, to Avantipur in central India. And Krishna and Balaram went there to school, but you know, each night they slept in the same room. They slept next to each other. Krishna would say to Balaram, I'm just thinking of the devotees in Braj. When will I go there? And then the two brothers, crying for the love of the Brijbasis, would embrace themselves on the neck and with tears in their eyes fall asleep. It's how much they loved to go to Vrindavan. Now when Krishna was still in Mathura, he received a letter. He had said to Nanda Maharaj, now you should all return to Braj, dear father. We shall come to see you. Our relatives who suffer in separation from us, as soon as we have given some happiness here in Mathura to our well-wishing friends. So the gopis had written a letter to Krishna which brought tears in his eyes, and here is the letter for you. It's very, very dramatic. O beloved Krishna, the separation from you afflicts us, and we fear that our life else will leave us. But please know, even these wounds which separation strikes into our bodies don't give us as much pain as to see that Radha's beauty withers away day by day. Then they wrote, Radharani had two parents in the gold cage, one male and one female, who would talk to each other. The female parrot would say, hopefully we get the remnants of the ghee soaked food which Radha brings to Krishna. Can you understand these words of love? Radharani would cook food for Krishna, and when Krishna would have eaten, then that prasad which was left, that Mahaprasad, was brought back by Radharani. It was fed to the female parrot, who now lives in the cage and says, hopefully we get these remnants of ghee soaked food which Radha brings to Krishna. In other words, the gopis say, if you don't return, Radharani, who withers every day, will soon die, and also the female parrot will die who doesn't get your Mahaprasad any longer, the parent of Radharani. How can you tolerate this? You have protected the Mathuravasis from the demon Kamsa, but you have not protected us from the demon of separation who kills innocent parents and Radha.
Hare Krishna.
My dear devotees, what can I say about Yashoda Ma? As you have heard, when Yashoda had found out, Yashoda had seen how Krishna was brought by Akrura to Mathura, she had gone on the road in the hot midday sun, which kills you, and she had just stood there like a mad woman with a bag of toys in her head, the toys which Krishna loved so much. She was talking that I will go to Mathura. I understand now I'm no longer important to Krishna. He's now with Devaki. I understand this. I appreciate it, because whatever gives joy to my boy Krishna gives joy to me. But I will go to Devaki, and I will just ask her, Devaki, I don't want to disturb, but I'm very good at cleaning bathrooms. Can I get some seva that when Krishna has taken his bath, I will wipe his bathroom. I will wipe the place where he has taken showers. So Krishna, who felt really very deep separation for the devotees in Braj, Krishna went there in a form, Prabhupada says, in the Bhava Rupa, in the form of his love, a loving form. And he, in that form, was interacting with the devotees in Braj. And Krishna, who was in Mathura now, you know, his Bhava form, wants to convince Yashoda that in fact he is in Braj. And he wrote the following letter to Yashoda. This is a very, very, very amazing letter. Krishna comments that when he left Vrindavan, what he ate. You know, a mother only wants to know, you know, a mother wants, not only, but a mother, when she feels, I have cooked for my son and he has eaten his good. On the first day, there was rice with milk. Do you remember that? When he left, Mother Yashoda had put a pot with rice and milk on a stove, and that was cooking. In German language, we would say, das köchelte, you know, on a slow flame. It was cooking for the whole journey. And when Krishna came back from seeing Mathura, he went and ate that milk rice. On the first day, dear mother, there was rice with milk. On the second day, there were rotis with ghee. On the next day, there were sweets soaked in sweet milk. Oh, mother, you fed me all these foods in the large room at home. Do not think that this was a dream or temporary appearance. Understand that it is the actual fact. We are never separated. This is a letter which arrived from Krishna, who was had written this in Mathura, in Vrindavan. It was read to Yashoda. She couldn't read it because her hands were trembling when she understood there was a letter from Krishna. And Krishna, we could maybe go back to the first part of the letter. He says, Mother,
this letter he wrote after 3 days. He said, I know you cooked every day for me, and I will now show you that I ate this food by telling you the preparations. First day, rice with milk. Second day, rotis with ghee. Third day, sweets soaked in sweet milk. Then the letter continues. You fed me all these foods in the large room at home, that is in Nandagram, where Krishna's dining room is there. And then he says to his mother, do not think this was a dream or temporary appearance. Understand that it is the actual fact. We are never separated. And then there was a handwriting, but we couldn't imitate Krishna's handwriting. We thought that was would be impious. A handwriting, your son Kanaya. That's the name which Yashoda always calls Krishna, my Kanaya. Kanaya means darling boy. So you can see from this katha, which is now ending here, that Krishna always used to think of the Brijvasis, and in one form he went back to Vrindavan to stay there, because there are these scriptural quotes which educate us that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. In this Bhava form, he's always there and interacts with his loving devotees. And here he wants to tell that Yashoda, who is not aware of that transcendental reality, that yes, I'm with you, and trust your realizations. My dear devotees, in Orissa there is a very nice verse about Krishna, and I think this verse is a little bit the spiritual guideline of our Krishna Kathas. It is said, Krishna is that person who always is present when someone talks about him, and when others listen about him, and when his holy name is sung. That is the person Krishna. He comes when you talk, when you think of him, and when you talk about him. That's when Krishna is ready. That's a beautiful verse. I have read this in the New Magazine, Krishna Kathamrita, from Madhavananda. I am studying this. Hare Krishna. So let us end this katha with the last verse from that song from Gopal Champu. You will like this verse very, very, very much. Gaura Hari, please come. It's a very simple verse. It is Jiva Goswami has talked about Krishna's pastimes in Mathura, he ends his song with this very creative verse, which ends with Veera. Do you know what the word Veera means? Hero. I'm sorry?
Hero.
Hero, yes. It means, O hero, glory, 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 glory to you. So this is how we will praise Krishna. As we sing this, you kindly think of Krishna and you glorify him. Jiva Goswami is simply speechless about Krishna's activities in Mathura, and therefore the great poet who has written more than 400,000 shlokas puts his poesy aside and just writes Jaya, 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 Jaya. He is speechless. He has no longer any words. Jaya, 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 Jaya
Jaya Jaya Veera Jaya 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 Veera Jaya 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 Veera Jaya 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 Veera Jaya Jaya Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Shyam Sundar Krishna ki Jai Jai Sri Radhe Jai Jai Sri Radhe Jai Jai Sri Radhe Hare Krishna.
Shishu Satchinanda Swami Maharaj.
Krishna Krishna. Thank you. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, Hare Krishna, this was the end of this katha. There's much more, but no time. Please join for the next katha. I'm really not yet perfect. I don't know anything. I'm a bad devotee, but I really know one thing. When I can think of Krishna, I'm happy. Very simple. And I want to share this with all of you so that you become happy and strong in your Krishna consciousness. A little announcement. We will have an aratik like Orvis, and then around